Over the past 15 years, many African countries have enjoyed double-digit growth rates. They have also made progress in educating more primary-age children, including girls. Professor Emmanuel Ndadosie says there are several factors behind the impressive gains, including fewer civil conflict, but he says economic management has also improved, thanks in part to 35 national policy think tanks supported by his Harare-based organization, the African Capacity Building Foundation. Among them are two institutes based in Nairobi, the Kenya Institute for Public Policy Research and Analysis, KIPRA, and the African Economic Research Consortium, AERC.
You know that all these are the ones that are doing the analysis that's helping governments to make evidence-based policies, so that they are not just simply, you know, policy is not something you do by hunch. You've got to understand what the problem it is you're trying to solve, and you've got to understand exactly what kinds of solutions would be appropriate for those problems. We have seen this happen in Ethiopia, where the unemployment issue was addressed head-on based on the work that was done by an institute created by ACBF. They also tackled their inflation problems. You go to Senegal, you find the same situation. Here in Kenya, in Nairobi, KIPRA is doing the same thing, helping the government of Kenya to make the kinds of policies that will benefit Kenyans and promote social and economic development.
Ndadosie says the African Capacity Building Foundation has trained up to 45,000 economic policy managers and policy makers on the continent. It also trains and encourages the placement of women in government, and it also promotes regional trade and integration. However, he says challenges lie ahead. There are still low-intensity conflicts in Africa, and the threat of terrorists like the Somalia-based militant group Al-Shabaab and the Nigerian-based Boko Haram. There is also a large percentage of young people on the continent seeking jobs. Those who can't find work contribute to the exodus of other migrants also escaping conflict or political repression.
That is something that requires serious and urgent attention and cannot be left to continue to exist. And this is also tied to the serious problem of youth unemployment, which, if you look at practically every country in this continent, this is a nagging problem. We must do something to provide the right kinds of education and skills for Africa's young people. We also create opportunities for them to be employed or to employ themselves and employ others. That is extremely important.
Leaders of the world's seven top industrialized countries gather early in June for the G7 summit in Germany. Preceding the meeting will be several events looking at ways of increased participation of Africa in global trade. In addition, many African heads of state will attend what is called outreach meetings with G7 policymakers, where investments and economic reforms will be discussed. Leaders from Nigeria, Liberia, Senegal, and Tunisia are among those expected to attend. Ndadosie says African leaders at the meeting and at all global economic forums need to speak in one voice.
The challenge African countries face in international engagement or negotiations often is that they are not as prepared as their counterparts that they are going to be facing. And so when you're not very prepared, you just do not maximize the benefits you get from this kinds of engagement.
Ndadosie is an optimist. He says there is no comparison between Africa today and at the time of independence, when there were few university graduates, roads, schools and hospitals. Today, it's home to some of the world's fastest growing economies. Their success will depend on deepening trade and cooperation and good economic management. Reporting for VOA News, this is Ruben Chama in Nairobi.